Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about our good friend Kenneth C. Davis being back on the show. Ken is, as you know, a New York Times bestselling author many times over. His book, America's Hidden History, also the whole Don't Know Much About History series, In the Shadow of Liberty, we've helped him launch basically all these books except maybe for the very first one. And he has a brand new one out, folks. Ken is one of our great historians of our time. And I consider him to be an American treasure. More Deadly Than War is the new book. The Hidden History of the Spanish Flu and the First World War. They're tied together, folks, inextricably. And he's our good friend. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you. And they are linked inextricably. You cannot talk about World War One, especially the last year of World War One and the United States' involvement in it, without talking about the Spanish flu.
Would it be hyperbole to call the Spanish flu a black swan event, would it?
It's the second most deadly pandemic in history. We can say that easily. And what was extraordinary about it, coming 100 years ago, at this moment 100 years ago, is that it was really left out of the history books. And it was a devastating worldwide global pandemic. Millions around the world. The estimates now go as high as 100 million.
Wow.
And we're talking about 5% of the world population.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be such a staggering number today that we can't even think of it.
And
675,000 Americans in a year.
The
bad flu season now, and, you know, 40 or 50,000 people died. We're talking about 600,000 people dying in the space of a year.
In October of 1918, as I remember, Ken, October, we lost over 100,000 in 1 month,
I remember. That is correct. But the numbers were staggering, and they were coming in the midst of the war. So we have to set the scene for just a moment. The spring of 1918, 100 years ago, hundreds of thousands of young Americans, doughboys as they were called, were getting onto troop transports and getting off in deep water ports in France, Brest. Primarily. By May of 1918, 1 million American soldiers had landed in France. We had no army a year before. This is an incredible story in its own way, that in the space of a year, 1 million men were trained and ready to go to fight in the trenches of Europe, where the war, of course, had been going on since August of 1914, dreadful losses everywhere. Those young men, those young Americans, were carrying their rifles and rucksacks, but they were also carrying a virus, a deadly virus. Within weeks of the arrival of first Americans in Paris, in France, the flu started to spread throughout Europe.
So that's what most people don't know, is we brought the Spanish flu to Europe.
That's the presumption right now, that it may have existed in Europe already, and this is some of there are some mysteries. Even though this is 100 years old, there are still some medical mysteries that are unsolved, where it actually originated and where it hit first. And we do know for sure that we call it the Spanish flu, but it didn't start in Spain. The reason
so somebody just said flu, somebody just said, okay, we can't call it the Brooklyn flu or the Pennsylvania flu or the Chicago flu. We'll call it the Spanish flu.
Well, probably more appropriately would have been the Kansas flu, because the first recorded case was in an army base in called Fort Riley in Kansas, and probably the young men who caught it there had gotten it while they'd been home in Kansas. That's the first recorded, but there are other places that it might have been before then. The reason for Spain, though, is interesting. Spain was a neutral country during World War One, and remember, World War One started in 1914. Millions and millions of lives lost in the first 3 years of the war.
Before we even got started.
Finally gets involved in 1917, but doesn't send any troops until 1918, 100 years ago. Spain was neutral. And so when the flu hit Madrid really hard in early May, just about 100 years ago, even the King of Spain was sick. The Spanish newspapers reported it because they weren't censored. All the other countries censored the news, and they didn't want news of an epidemic. They thought it would be bad for morale. They didn't want the enemy to know.
They're fighting
a
war.
That's right. In Spain, they called it the Naples soldier. In Russia, they called it the German pest. In Germany, they called it the Bolshevik disease. Every country seemed to want to blame somebody else. So you're exactly right.
Today, we'd call it the Russian flu, wouldn't we?
Probably it would be the Russian flu today or the Putin flu, perhaps. I don't know. But at any rate, the devastation that this caused was unthinkable, partly because they didn't know what a virus was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They understood bacteria. They had seen bacteria. Some of the first vaccines for bacterial diseases were available, but nobody really understood what a virus was, and no one had seen one because microscopes weren't yet powerful enough to see a virus,
so what,
which is so much
what,
smaller
what did
than
the,
a bacteria.
How did, in the United States, hundreds of thousands of people died? Why do you think this is a part of history that's not very well covered?
That's a really fascinating question because some of the historians who looked at this, and they didn't start looking at it until really much more like 50 years afterwards, there was actually a drop in the life expectancy in the United States in 1918 that people started to look back and said, gee, why did the life expectancy go down because of the war? It wasn't because of the war. It was because of the flu. And it was because of the flu because it struck so many young people, which was part of
the— See, that's why I called it a black swan. A black swan event is something you didn't see coming. But look at what it did to actuarial, to the insurance companies for actuarial purposes.
That's what they looked at, and they started to wonder why, because it wasn't in the history books.
Mm-hmm.
And many people have suspected that even the doctors who lived through it and worked through it and were trying to solve this incredible mystery, which they didn't solve in their own day, didn't want to talk about it. It's as if this went into the memory hole. It was
just
so terrible.
Never got reported very much.
So terrible.
He's right about that, folks. You don't see it much. You probably won't hear much about it this year as an 100-year anniversary. We come back. We're going to talk some more about this and whether this could happen again and what would it look like if it did in 21st century.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.